I don't know about you, but while I was sitting there listening to that song and looking out at the snow, I just felt the most wonderful peace coming over me. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus is Lord and Savior? That's what this is all about. That's what this time of the year. I mean, this is one of those high Sabbaths in which you have the Sabbath, you have Christmas Day. Now, I don't know when that will happen again. Has anyone calculated and figured it out when it'll happen again? I probably won't even be around when it does take place. But what a day to be able to be here and worship the Lord. Paganism and the birth of a child. How many here have ever got into the Bible, you started reading, and you decided you'd start in the book of Genesis, and you read and you came up to a little section that said, so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and you looked at that and you said, if this is what the Bible's all about, I don't think I'm going to learn anything. The begots. Many people have been turned off from studying the Bible because of the begots. But did you know that the begots are in the New Testament also? Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 3. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. I want you to see something here. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. That's Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read here verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Here you have all of those begats, and it's true, some people have been turned off because of the begats. But the interesting part about this is the begats turn our minds to Jesus. It tells us something of His human side, and it helps us to understand just a little bit about Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, same chapter, verse 17, it says that His lineage, or His who He came from, comes from some very evil people. And in verse 3, if you'll look at verse 3, it says, Judas begat Phares, and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Izram, and Izram begat Aram. And if you go all the way back to Genesis 38, it tells us about Tamar, or Tamar, as it says here in the New Testament. And then back in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, it mentions Ruth and Rahab, and verse 6 mentions Bathsheba. Now, isn't it interesting, the people in this lineage? It is likely that the women were of Gentile origin. Now, that gives me hope, and it should give you hope also, because not only is Jesus for the Jews, but He was for the Gentiles also. For me and you, that we could have eternal life. You see, Jesus' lineage, on the human side of it, now of course Jesus was born of the Holy Ghost, but on the human side of it, down through Mary, you find some people that have a few problems. Notice how the Bible puts it. Matthew 1, verse 16 says, Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Matthew makes it clear, Jesus is of a virgin birth. But Mary, like Joseph, was of the house of David. It was through her alone that Jesus could be literally called of the seed of David according to the flesh. But let me explain something here. The women, every woman from Adam and Eve till from Eve all the way down till the day Jesus was born, many of those of the Jewish origin, they looked at maybe, just maybe, I will have the Christ child. But the Lord had a timetable, didn't He? He had a timetable, the exact time, the right time for Jesus to be born. And then Joseph was more than likely a widower, maybe at the time, because the Bible says that Jesus had brothers and sisters. I remember when I first became a Seventh-day Adventist. You see, my wife and I, we became Christians in the Methodist Church, but later on became a part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I began to read those little books called the Spirit of Prophecy books. And as I began to read those books, I thought, well, hey, I'm going to search to maybe prove this prophetess wrong. How many have ever done that? And I came across in the Desire of Ages, and it said Jesus had brothers and sisters. And I said, no way. Because we know that Mary was a virgin and had the Christ child, and how could it be their brothers and sisters? And I went to my minister and I said, hey, these little books are all wrong. And he turned with me, or he told me to turn into the book of Matthew in chapter 12, I believe it is, in verse 6. And then in also chapter 13 and 55 and 56. And then in Mark 6, verse 3. And it says that Jesus had brothers and sisters. And I said, well, she's right again. She's right again. But yes, Joseph more than likely had lost his first wife and had children by his first wife. But back to the story here. You see, the Jews wanted a king to rule the government, but not the heart. They wanted world supremacy, not victory over sin. They wanted freedom, but not the true spiritual freedom. And what I want you to notice this morning is what was happening when Jesus came. Repeatedly, would-be messiahs came along, arose to take over the kingdom by the sword. Jesus came with a sword also, but it was the Word of God. Jesus came to save when all these false messiahs came to destroy. Religions, most of them involved very much in politics, and true worship was totally forgotten. Heathen circles, as well as in Jewish circles, people believed it was time for a messiah. Now, isn't that amazing? Everybody's looking for a certain time. When Jesus arrived in a manger, false religions and doctrines were sweeping over the world, much like today. But you got to realize, Babylon had fallen, Medo-Persia had fallen, Greece under the leadership of that great warrior had fallen, and then Rome was ruling the known world. Amazing. Amazing what was taking place in the world. False teachings of all kind were around. What kind of traditions? Well, they had tradition in place of the Word of God. Matthew 15, 3 and 6, Jesus talked about that. Doctrines of men instead of God's Word, Matthew 15, 9. The Romans had their gods. Did you know that they had a trinity? During the days of Jesus, the gods were supposed to protect on different occasions. They had all these false gods. They had Jupiter, Juno, and Minerva. These were the trinity of the heathen gods that the people worshiped during that day. Then along came Apollo, the sun god, people worshiping the sun. And then Nero, You know what I'm talking about. He wore the radiant crown with spikes representing the rays of the sun. All of these false doctrines we see today. Isn't it amazing how history repeats itself? We look out in the world today and we're living in the same time, it seems like, because you've got the false worship of all sorts in the world around us. Right before Jesus comes the second time. Just like in Jesus' day, the people do not want to hear God's truth. But let me touch on this. Now, we celebrate Christmas, of course, on December 25. But you know as well as I know, Jesus was not born on December 25. But it gives us a perfect opportunity to share with people. And then you have the Santa Claus and the reindeers and the elves, and you got all of this stuff going around, and we've all been taught things like that. You know, isn't it interesting? Children are taught that Santa Claus is just like Jesus. He sees everything. How's that song go? Anybody know? He sees everything. He knows what you do when you're good and when you're bad, and on and on. And then when kids realize that Santa's not real, sometimes in their mind they think maybe Jesus is not real either. So all of these things are around us. And then the wise men. I mentioned this last week. You know, I remember being one of the little shepherds in the Methodist Christmas program when we had our program on, and we always did it on Friday night. You know, had it right, or the night, I should say, right before Christmas Eve. And we'd come together and we'd have our play, and they'd show the wise men coming down at the stable there in the manger. And of course, the Bible says, when you read Matthew chapter 2, it says the wise men came to the home. And the reason King Herod wanted all the babies killed from 2 years of age and under is because he wanted to make sure, because it could have been a year after the birth of Jesus before the wise men. I don't know what the time was. Somebody maybe calculated and found that out. But they came, the wise men came to the house where Jesus was living. But I ask another question. And I'm not concerned about the time. Thank the Lord, I celebrate this too. You come to my home, you'll see the gifts and all that. And it was interesting. I had a knock at my door the other day. And I went to the door, and it was two gentlemen, well-dressed, at my door. And as I opened up the door, they said, "We're here to share with you around this time of the year." And he's looking around the corner at my Christmas tree. And they said, "We want to show you and tell you about paganism." I said, good, I'm glad to have you. They said, "Oh, you are?" I said, "Yes." They handed me the literature, and I looked at it. I said, yes, paganism. Isn't it something how this December 25 and Sunday sacredness and all that all goes together? And they looked at me, and they said, "You're a Seventh-day Adventist?" "Yes." "Well, we'll see you later." "All right, have a good Christmas." Oh, you know, and the thing is, there's all of these things around and around us, but you know what? I'm one of those who believes that the holidays, even though they may not be Christian holidays, we can use them to glorify the name of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Because that's what it's all about. It's not about the gifts we receive and the gifts we give. It's about the Jesus Christ who was born in a stable, in a manger, who was born to die, to live and die for me and you and save us, not in our sins, but from our sins. That's the story. Why did He come the first time? Matthew 1 says He came to save us from our sins. Romans 6:23 says He came and gave us a gift, the gift of eternal life. Romans 5:8 says He came to die for us and give us eternal life, and it's all through Jesus Christ. And Matthew 9, look with me at Matthew 9, verse 13. Oh, what a text. Listen to this. Matthew 9:13. "But go ye and learn what they meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Why did He come? He came for John Earnhardt. He came for you. He came to save us from our sins. And why is He coming the second time? You know, a gentleman visiting our church this morning gave me this little piece of paper. See what I did with it here. Here it is. It came out of one of the newspapers. Billboards predict the second coming of Jesus, May 21, 2011. I believe He's coming, don't you? But I don't believe He's coming May 21. It may be May 20. But He's coming, amen? And nobody can set the date because the Bible says so. This really bothers me, and I'll tell you why. Because these people who start setting these dates and putting them on billboards and all, that time passes over, and then they set a new date, and more people believe them. I believe that you and I should speak out and say, no man knows the day and hour. We know He's coming, but we don't know when. And if He doesn't come May 21, that means these people are false prophets. And I can't believe anything they say. You see what I'm saying? That Jesus has the answers. The Word of God is what is truth. So why is He coming the second time? Be this year, next year, or 10 years from now. Why is He coming again? Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Some of my favorite text right here in Titus, right before the book of Philemon in Hebrews. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Did you catch that? Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Hebrews 9:28 says He's coming for those that are looking for Him. Look at it. You're in Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without, what's the next word? Sin. Unto salvation. Have I already told my story about the microwave? Y'all haven't heard the microwave story? Oh, I thought I told you that one. Are you sure? I'll tell it again. That's what I plan to do. I'll never forget. One day my wife said, I'm going to leave you. And it wasn't for another man, and it wasn't for any other reason, but she had to go away on a trip. And I don't know how you are, you men are, but I'm the type that I can mow the yard, I can work on the car, I can do all that good stuff. But when it comes to cooking, my form of cooking is open up a can of chickpeas and a couple carrots. That's a meal. And there have been times in our life that I've had to cook. My wife would be away and I had to cook for my daughters. And they'd say, Dad, is that all you know how to cook? And I'd say, yes, it is. Would you tell them to come on out? We're here at worship. That's my wife's phone. I turned mine off, sweetheart. But anyway, so here it was. My wife was going to leave for a few days. And I said, what am I going to do? You're going to be gone for almost a week, and I don't know how to cook. She said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I love you so much. I'm going to prepare the food. I'm going to put plastic over it, put it in the refrigerator, and you'll have a meal every day for almost a week. Isn't that a wonderful wife? I mean, she takes care of her husband. Well, she got everything fixed up before she left. She says, now, John, come over here. I want to show you something. She said, this is a refrigerator. And she opened it up and she said, inside the refrigerator is the food that I have prepared for you. I said, oh, thank you, thank you. She said, now, here's what you do. When you get hungry, you walk to this thing called a refrigerator. You open up the door. You take out a plate wrapped in plastic or whatever she had on that. She said, you turn around and you walk over here to this thing called microwave. You open up the door, you put it inside, you close the door, and on a piece of paper, she had written down for each plate the amount of time on the microwave. I thought, well, man, I can do that. That's simple. She leaves. She goes on her trip. I get hungry. I go into the house and I say, all right, there's a thing called the refrigerator. I walk over. I open up the door. I take out the plate. It's in the plastic. I can see the mashed potatoes, the green beans. It all looks so good because I'm so hungry. I've been outdoors working. I turn around and I see the microwave just across the room a little ways. And I walk toward that, but I look at the mashed potatoes and they look like they need to be stirred just a little bit. So I stop by. Right there's a fork. I pick up the fork, I open up the plastic, and I begin to stir the potatoes, and I cover it up, the fork inside. I open up the microwave, I put it inside, I close the door, I look at how much time, I press the time, and then I hit start. And all hell broke loose. Flames, smoke, the lights blinking off and on, and I thought she had tried to blow me up. What was the mistake? I did everything right. I walked to the refrigerator. I opened up the door. I took out the plate. I headed to the microwave. Just a little stop. And then I went to the microwave, put it in, and I destroyed our microwave. Why? Because the fork was foreign to the microwave. Don't miss my point. When Jesus comes the second time, two groups of people, amazingly, two people standing side by side, all of a sudden one is changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the other could be destroyed in the twinkling of an eye. How can that be? Because the Bible says He's coming here in Hebrews 9:28, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He came the first time to save me from my sins. He's coming the second time without sin because that's all been done away with. That's all been done. The work has been done. Jesus saving us from our sins, that's already taken place. So if I hold on to sin, that's like the fork in the microwave. It's foreign to the love of a merciful God and a Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is He coming the second time? To take us home. What is He doing right now? The babe born in a manger? The babe that grew up to manhood and walked among men and went to the cross on Calvary's tree? What is He doing right now? He's our mediator. And all I have to do, all you have to do, is go directly to God through Jesus Christ and say, Lord, forgive me. And it's done. That's the joy. That's the good news about a babe born in a manger. Jesus Christ came to die that we could live. Revelation 22:7. Listen to the promise in His Word. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank God for His birth. Thank God for His life. Thank God for His death, His resurrection, and soon His coming to take us home. The Bible says, I'll make your sins as white as snow. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. We thank you for His birth. We thank you for His death, His resurrection, His mediator work, and His coming soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.